Friends, here we are, right, in the most wonderful time of the year, as the song says. And it's the most wonderful time of the year for more reason than one. There, of course, is all the fun of the season and the family and all those things that Christmas brings that are so wonderful that so many of us like. But here's the biggest reason that it's so wonderful, that it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's that it's much more acceptable in our society during this time of the year to make Jesus kind of front and center in things and in our lives. You can hear about him on the radio, even in songs. And I know that not all songs that you hear in businesses and such are going to be those Christmas songs that tell us about Jesus, but they're woven in as well. You might hear Jingle Bells, and then you'll hear Away in the Manger or something like that speaks to the Jesus and Christ's Mass and Christmas. And so we hear that coming through as well. Now, if it's the most wonderful time of the year and it's most wonderful because of Jesus, here's a really big question for you and me as believers in Jesus. How many of us are telling our worlds about the one whose birthday we're celebrating at Christmas? How many of us are doing that? This year, we've been focusing our season together on Sunday mornings by talking about how we're the present to Jesus this year. We're presenting ourselves. We're not going to Amazon for a present for Jesus or into any retail store for a present to Jesus. Jesus wants you. Jesus wants me. And so we've been talking about different aspects of presenting ourselves to Jesus in this season. And today we're going to talk about a very important way that we can present ourselves to Jesus. In fact, friends, this should be the given way that those who know Jesus should always be presenting themselves to Jesus. We're going to talk about presenting your witness at Jesus, your witness of him. Listen, friends, there's no more natural time probably in our society to tell others about Jesus than times like Christmas and Easter. The world still recognizes these as national holidays, especially Christmas, right? Especially Christmas. Most businesses will be closed. Most people are going to be off work. Most people are somewhat available. Some people have warm feelings and just these sentimental things that make them more willing, more open to hear about Jesus in this season than any other time. And you know, I may be somewhat skeptical of the times over the secularization of Christmas that's happened, but at the same time, even in the more secular celebrations of this season and of this day, people and families, they just center on things more like on things like generosity and cheer and family and kindness and love and those kind of things. Now, there was no Santa Claus, no Christmas trees, no lights and all that such at the birth of Jesus. And they may have little to do with Jesus, right? But I'll tell you what keeps drawing people back to this season, whether they believe in Jesus, know Jesus or not, even if they don't know the real reason for this season. Everyone has this longing to love and to be loved, and they capture these feelings around Christmas that connects them to this time of year. But I want to tell you something that many Christmas lovers don't always realize or think about. It's not that way for everyone. For many people in the world, Christmas isn't what they would describe as the most wonderful time of the year. They actually might describe it as one of the hardest times of the year. Why? Well, there are various reasons for that. Some are facing the raw pain of losing a loved one or maybe multiple loved ones. Some came from really tough circumstances and background, how they grew up, and Christmas wasn't spelled out J-O-Y to them, joy. Some have grown up and now they're older and their kids are older and their kids don't come around much anymore and they're kind of feel alone. And there's a lot of reasons for some people that it's not the most wonderful time of the year for them. Now, here's the thing for all of us who know and who believe and who love Jesus. Whether a person's excited about this Christmas time or they just can't wait for it all to get over with and for January to come around, in any case, there are clear openings, open opportunities for you and me to share the witness that we have of Jesus. Those who are wrapped up in all the good feelings they find in the season, they're just much more generous and open also in their listening to hear your story. And those who find themselves kind of struggling through the holidays, they absolutely need the hope that you and I have in our testimonies about Jesus. So let's present Jesus, present him with the gift of sharing our witness of him in our life to all that we can during this season. So let's begin today by going to a part of the Christmas story that begins with celebrating the witness of encountering Jesus. It's actually probably one of my most favorite parts of the story, and it's the account of the shepherds. I mean, have you ever given much thought to how God set his birth up, the birth of his son, his one and only son? Friends, God has a purpose for everything that he does. And so the exact way that Jesus came was exactly how God orchestrated it. There didn't just happen to be a census that was called that now Joseph and Mary have to navigate and figure out what to do with. No, that was part of God's plan. The prophet Micah in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 predicted that this future ruler of Israel, who we know of as Messiah, would be born in Bethlehem. And the census was all part of God's plan to place Mary into that place so Jesus would be born exactly where Scripture said that he would, in Bethlehem. Jesus being born in a primitive place and being laid in a feeding trough, that wasn't just an accident because there was no place else for them to go. You would think a king would be born in a castle, right? Laid in a bed of finest linen with the best medical care that was available. No, that wasn't God's plan. The Son of God would enter this world in the most humblest of fashions, to live in the most humblest life, to die the most humblest death, and to be attended to by what would be the most humblest people of the time, the shepherds. But why not have this be the case? I mean, after all, shepherds handled the birth of lambs all the time, right? They handled the birth of lambs all the time. And what was Jesus? Jesus was the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Who better to care for the birth of a lamb than shepherds? Why is he called the Lamb of God? Because it was lambs that they would sacrifice, that they would slaughter in the temple for their forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus was the one and only sacrifice that could truly pay for the price of sin and once and for all. So Jesus wasn't just a man when he hung on the cross. He was a lamb. He was the Lamb of God dying for you and me. And so I love that God chose shepherds to be the ones to welcome his son. Being a shepherd was considered to be one of the lowliest occupations of the day. Sheep smelled, and so did shepherds. They stunk. They literally lived night and day with their sheep. They didn't talk to many people other than maybe other shepherds they would encounter, and they lived pretty isolated in their life. Truth be told, they didn't have much to talk about. Even if they did have the opportunity to talk outside of their occupation, which wasn't that exciting. Their life consisted of their sheep, and so others rarely heard from them to begin with. That was about to change for a certain group of shepherds that would welcome Jesus into this world. So let's take a closer look at their part of the account, looking in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and got into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and a baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now wait just a minute here, friends. Wait a minute. What did these shepherds do after they welcomed Jesus into the world? You mean they didn't go back to their quiet little fields with their quiet little sheep and take care of the sheep like they'd done their whole life? It was everything to them. It was all that they had ever done. That's not what they did. Now, it doesn't say they never returned. In fact, it sounds like they did return. I'm not trying to say that they didn't return, but it certainly wasn't the first thing that they did. It wasn't the first thing that they did. It tells us here that the first thing they did was to go and spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. So they didn't just go running off and saying, a child's been born, a child's been born, a child's been born. No, it says they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And what had they been told about this child? Who was it that told them about the child? An angel of the Lord told them good news that will be great for all people, that a Savior had been born to them, for them, who is the Messiah, the Lord. Friends, they ran off to tell everyone that they could tell about Jesus. That's what happened with the worshipers of God on the first Christmas. That's what happened. They didn't put up a bunch of decorations and put up a tree and unwrap a bunch of gifts and have a big meal and get out the fruitcake or whatever it is else that you attribute to Christmas. No, friends, they ran out. And they shared the very good news of the Savior that was born for all who would receive. How can we do any less? How can we do any less? I mean, after all, they shared with anyone that they could get to listen. It says that they returned, after that, they returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, here's my question for you. How many of us have experienced Jesus in some sort of way? And how much do we treat Christmas and our celebrations and our time with him as celebrating and glorifying and praising God and telling others about him with the opportunity they have to meet Jesus, just as the others that we have in our life can do? I have no doubt that the rest of the life of these shepherds had to do with them when they would run into people, that they would tell all of them what had happened to them on that one night. When they would run into people who were out, that they would tell them about Jesus. And so my question is, have you encountered Jesus in your life? Have I encountered Jesus in my life? Have you experienced salvation through him who is for all people who will receive him? And if you have, you too, friends, have a witness to share, and you can present your witness during Christmas by sharing about the witness that you've encountered with him, and by sharing about Jesus to those in every area of your life. And so we're going to unpack that present this morning. This is what we're presenting to Jesus, our witness, so let's unpack that a little bit. After the shepherds encountered Jesus, they went and they told the people of their world. Your question might be, well, who am I supposed to tell? And I believe that Scripture guides us in that, that tells us who we're supposed to tell. So let's look at some Scripture and see who do we tell. The first is this. The first that we tell is this. Tell your family. Tell your family. Doesn't that seem like the most obvious thing that we would do, the most obvious answer? If knowing Jesus and salvation through him is the most important message in the world, which it is, then why would we not tell the most important people in our life, who are usually those in our family? The irony is that for many, telling our own family, it can feel like one of the hardest places to tell. Why is that? Well, I think part of it is because they know you, right? And they knew you maybe before you knew Jesus, and it's harder for them to get how you could be any different now than what you've always been to them. Other times, I think that some people I hate to say it, but I think they feel embarrassed. They feel embarrassed to talk to their family about Jesus. I'm not sure why that is, but regardless of whether talking to those in your family who don't yet know Jesus seems to be a difficult thing for you to do or not, Are there any of them in your family that you want to see not be saved? Not to be saved from death and hell? Don't you want them all saved? I should hope that you do. A great example that we see in Scripture of someone who tells their family about what they witness in Jesus is Andrew, with his brother Simon Peter. When Andrew realized that Jesus was worth following and that maybe he just might be the Messiah, the first thing that he did is he ran to Peter. Let's check out this account of that in John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Now you have to appreciate this, right? You have to appreciate Andrew, that he didn't mess around. He didn't keep it a secret that he was about to follow Jesus, like maybe we may do sometimes. If he had a Bible back then, he wasn't going to keep that hidden away from his family when they come to the house. He didn't keep his worship time with Jesus something that he just kept to himself. No, Andrew ran out. He found his brother, and he said, "We found the Messiah. We found the Messiah." Now, there's some risk here for Andrew, isn't there? There's some risk. There was a good chance that Andrew would run into his family to say this, "Hey, we found the Messiah." And they'd say, "You're acting a little crazy, Andrew. You're being a little nutsy with us right now." I mean, why not? Sounds a little crazy when you think of it in that fashion, wouldn't you say? "Hey, all, I just want you to know that I've found the Messiah. I'm taking off to follow him as he walks and he talks and he teaches and all that stuff he's going to do. You might want to come along too. But listen to me. Is it really all that crazy of an idea for you and me with our families during the Christmas season? I mean, maybe we don't just do it like that, but would it be crazy, a crazy idea for you and me and our families at Christmas, a Christmas party, and you're just sitting around the table with your son or your daughter or your mom or your dad or your uncle or your aunt or your cousins or your niece or your nephew? You don't necessarily have to stand up and announce it to the whole room, although if God leads you to do that, go for it, but what if in our private conversations, right? Our private conversations with someone of your family, a family member, you actually just went for it. You just go for it. I mean, after all, that's what Christmas is, right? It's all about the Messiah. It sent the shepherds running off to tell. So what if it looked something like this, okay? What if it looked something like this? What if you're sitting with a family member at a family gathering who you're not sure if they know Jesus yet or not, that they've come to Jesus, and you simply follow kind of Andrew's example, and you say something like, "You know, Uncle Joe, I really love the Christmas season, and, you know, for me anyway, it goes much deeper than just the decorations and presents and all that kind of stuff. You know, for me, I've personally found and experienced the Messiah that Christmas is all about. I'm not trying to sound crazy or anything like that. I've just come to know Jesus in a real way in my life. And because of that, and because I love you, I wanted to tell you about that." And then from there, you let the Holy Spirit just kind of guide you and unfold things into the rest of the conversation. If the person's not ready to hear that, isn't interested, it may shut down pretty quickly. But don't mistake their discomfort for a lack of interest. Just because they're uncomfortable with it doesn't make them uninterested in it. In most cases, the thing that's going to resonate with them the most before you start to unload a whole bunch of Jesus talk on them is this, you then just bridge that conversation about the difference that Jesus has made in your life and that he makes in your life. Most people are more interested in the so what of your experience, of your explaining, than the what of your explaining. Does that make sense? You understand what I mean by that? If you're telling them that you're following Jesus and they don't know Jesus, the first thought may likely be for them that they think that you found religion, right? You've now become religious. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what you're saying. I've found the Messiah. That's what I've found. And what I'm saying is that I've met Jesus, and he's completely changed my life. So if it seems that they're open to more of a conversation, and the Holy Spirit seems to be leading you to go further in that conversation, then share a little bit about the difference that Jesus has made and makes for you since you found him, and about your relationship with God because of that. Not about some religion. Friends, if you simply hang with your family, you love them like Jesus would love them, and if you have the courage to take the opportunities that the Holy Spirit may open up for you to tell some of your family members about the Jesus they don't yet know, that you found the Messiah of the Christmas holiday season, and you begin with that, then you'll have given that present of your witness to Jesus for Christmas. You have given that present to him. Let's look at a second answer to the question of who we tell. Well, friends, tell your friends. Tell your friends. The conversations with friends, it can be very similar to that kind of Andrew approach. They're people that you love. They're people that you care for. And you don't keep the most important message in the world away from people who you love. You found the Messiah. And this is what has changed you. Let's look at a beautiful example of this in the Bible, of a woman who went and told people that she knew about the story of her encounter with Jesus. It's the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, many of us have heard her story before, and I'm not going to read the whole account. It's too long of an account to read this morning, but let me just tell about it a bit to get us all on the same page so we know where we're at, and then I'm going to go to the specific place of interest for our conversation this morning. So first of all, this woman was a Samaritan, meaning that she was from Samaria. And of course, Jesus was a Jew. And Jesus was traveling one day with his disciples, and he decided to stop and be refreshed at a well that was in Samaria. He sent his disciples on to do some other business, and he just rested there at this well by himself. He was actually there because he knew that this specific person would be coming, that she would be coming. And like clockwork, this Samaritan woman showed up at the well around noon, the hottest part of the day in a very hot part of the world, and she came to draw water for her day, filling a large water jar, and she came at the hour of the day that she did because she had a bad reputation. And she knew that if she came in this hottest hour, that it would be the time least likely that there would be others there who might taunt her for that reputation that she had. Well, when she gets to the well, she sees Jesus there, but she just goes about her business. Jesus starts filling her water, and Jesus began a conversation with the woman. He asks her to draw some water for him. He says, I got nothing to draw water with, and so this conversation goes on, and they get into a conversation about water and why he's willing to talk to her, since she's a woman in public, and a Samaritan, all no-nos for a Jewish man. And Jesus then turns the conversation and offers this woman living water. Well, the woman then kind of laughs at Jesus, asking him about this special water that he's claiming to have and why he has it, where he would get it from. And to make a longer story shorter, Jesus ends up revealing himself to her as the Messiah. And after he's revealed her own reputation right before her, that she had been with five husbands and she's with another man right now who's not her husband at all, living with him, after Jesus has revealed this woman's whole hand that she had clutched tightly to her chest, not wanting anybody to see, and it's all laid out before her, she realizes that Jesus indeed is the Messiah that they've been waiting for. So now we're getting to the part of the story that I want to draw to for us this morning. Let's look at John chapter 4, verses 28 through 30. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. Now let's drop down to verse 39 to see the results of her going and sharing. Many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. This is such an incredible account. This woman meets the Messiah, and afterwards she can't keep her mouth closed about it. She can't keep quiet about it. She runs back to the town, all the people she's actually been avoiding. She runs to him and tells him, I understand that calling these people, if we're talking about friends, calling them friends to her is a stretch right now. These are the people she's trying to stay away from. With her reputation, this woman likely had no real friends. But at this point in her life, when she learned about Jesus, she went to the only people that she knew or associated with that would be closest to friends that she had. And even though they likely normally ridiculed her, they were the closest thing to friends she had. And likely many of these Samaritans went out to meet the Messiah themselves because we know that they did because of her and believed. They likely became her friends. They likely became her friends. Now here's the point of this for us today. We have people in our lives who are friends to us, who may yet have been introduced to the Messiah, to Jesus. They're hearing about it in one way or another from this season. I promise all of them are hearing at least bits and pieces, even through the songs. Why not present them the truth of Jesus? Why not do that? Tell them that he came and help them to experience the true gift of Christmas, salvation for all people who will believe. You may wonder, well, how do I have a conversation like that with a friend? Let me just give you a couple of ideas. The Christmas season already, it's already provided a canvas for you to work with here. It's given you the open door already to give a witness. And a great way to start is just with questions and listening to them as they respond to lead to other questions and possibly the opportunity for you even to share about Jesus with them. Questions can begin kind of like this. Do you like Christmas and the Christmas season? What do you like or what do you dislike about it? What kind of Christmas traditions did you grow up with? What kind of Christmas traditions do you practice now? Has church ever played a part in how you've celebrated Christmas? And you might follow those questions by saying something like, one of my Christmas traditions has been to go to this Christmas Eve candlelight service at my church. I mean, it's just really pretty cool. At the end, people stand around with candles and they're lit and they hold it and they all sing that song, Silent Night. Have you heard that song before? It's just such a cool thing. It's so beautiful to see. You might even say, you know, we've been friends for a while now and friends should be transparent with one another. And maybe I've never told you before, but God's pretty important to me. And that's why that candlelight thing that I go to at my church, that's kind of why I do that. Can I tell you why God's been important to me? And then friends, if your friend allows you to do so, just tell them about your experiences with Jesus. You can also invite them to come to church with you on Christmas Eve and experience that candlelight experience. Present Jesus your witness this Christmas as you share him with your friends. Who else can we share the Messiah with to be a present to him? Here's the third group. Tell your work associates. Your work associates. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, oh, what about that separation of church and state thing? Oh, you work for the state, do you? Most of you probably don't. Some of you I know do work for the state, but it doesn't really matter because that separation of the church and state thing doesn't mean that. That was never the intention of it to begin with. Look, I'm not talking about you going to work and climbing up on a desk with a Santa hat on and a bullhorn and starting to preach and shout at people, turn or burn, choose or lose, get right or get left. I wouldn't suggest you do that anywhere at any time in your life. Okay, we're not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that we build some kind of relationship with others that we work with. And as you build those relationships, make sure that you regularly show them what the Messiah, what Jesus looks like. Show them Jesus in the way that you live, in the way that you love, in the way that you conduct yourself. Live in such a way around work associates that they see the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control that comes from the fruit of the Spirit that we learn from Jesus. Let them see that in you. And once you've lived Jesus for a while, before others that you work with, you're going to begin to earn the right to be heard. To earn the right to be heard, because I promise you that they're already going to be wondering, what's so different about this person? Why are they so different from everybody else that I work with? And then as Christmas rolls around, you have this open door, this opportunity to help them know why you're different. You can use some of the same kind of questions that we talked about that you might use with a friend. You can be very intentional about the kind of cards, the kind of gifts that you might give them. Listen, this is just my personal opinion. This is my personal opinion, but as a believer in Jesus, I think we have no place in giving a Christmas card to a non-believer who says something like, Happy Holidays or Season's Greetings. Now, as a Christian, if you give me a card like that, I know what holiday you're talking about. I know what season you're greeting me with. But if you're giving that to somebody who's not a Christian, this is an opportunity for you to show them what it's about. Don't give a card like that to a non-believer. It just reinforces the message of a Christless holiday to them. If you're going to send or give a card to a coworker who may not be Jesus, make sure that that card at least indicates Jesus and represented in some form or fashion. And you may say, well, where do I find a card like that? The stores and the cards, they're generic and secular. Well, you know what? You may need to order those cards at a place like christianbook.com or something like that. With gifts that you give to your coworkers, give a gift that might represent the Messiah who was born and Christmas to them in some way. You know, an ornament that maybe shows the nativity or at least baby Jesus or something, right? Or a picture or a decoration or a book about the real meaning of Christmas. There are a few of those out. Or even a Bible. We waste opportunities all the time when we give people things like a box of chocolates and a candle and a gift card. Christmas gives you the perfect opportunity to give a gift that points to the primary reason, the reason for the season that points them to Jesus. One of the beautiful stories of a first encounter that someone had with Jesus is Matthew's story. Matthew's story, listen to it in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does this teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Do you catch what's happening here? Matthew, a despised tax collector, comes to Jesus, but then Jesus goes home with Matthew for a dinner party where a whole bunch of Matthew's despised tax collecting co-workers show up. They come to meet Jesus. The religious people who are around, they go into this holy uproar over this, but Jesus just responds by telling them that these are the very kinds of people that he came for, sinners, just like they indeed are sinners as well. Friends, we can present our witness to Jesus this Christmas by presenting Jesus to our coworkers. At the very least, invite them to church with you on Christmas Eve. I was getting my hair cut last year at Christmas time, just a couple days before Christmas Eve, and trying to make some conversation with the lady that was cutting my hair and asking what her plans were for Christmas Eve and Christmas. And I found out that she was divorced. Her kids were going to be with her dad that night, and she had a date with a bottle of wine. And so I invited her to come to our candlelight worship experience, at least before she'd started that date, right? And she said she'd think about it. She didn't show up. But at least I invited her, right? At least I invited her. Some people are just waiting for an invitation. They're just waiting for an invitation. Let's look at one more answer to this question of who we tell about the Messiah that we've met. And this is kind of more the general answer to the whole question, the overall answer to the question, and we're not going to spend as much time on it. So the fourth is this. Who do we tell? Tell the world. Tell the world about the Messiah. After all, that's who Jesus told us to tell. Listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus tells us that we're to tell everyone. And friends, Christmas is an open door for you to talk about Jesus to as many people that God places in your path in this world. And to even go beyond that. You know, in our day, like no other, we can share Jesus in the world easier than any other time in history by using social media. You can literally share Jesus around the world from your living room. It's that simple to do today. The point of Jesus' Great Commission is that we be intentional about witnessing for Jesus every day of the year, 24/7, in every way, every opportunity that we have. Because the world needs to know the Messiah that the angels sang about to those shepherds that first night. The one who came for the salvation of all. Friends, that's what Christmas is. That's what Christmas is, and that's the present that we can give to Jesus. How about leaving this morning with this challenge? With this challenge. In the very least, friends, this Christmas, invite whoever you can to join you in worship here on Christmas Eve. I had a phrase that kept going through my head earlier this week. This was the phrase, fill the fort. Fill the fort. What if we do all we can to fill this place Christmas Eve? Invite family members and friends and co-workers and anybody else that you might come across. Maybe the woman that cuts your hair this week as you go and get your hair cut for Christmas. Here's my promise to you. My promise to you is that you invite them. You invite them, and I promise that I'll bring the witness of Jesus that night. I promise you. Are you in? Are you in? You know, some say, oh, we can't fill the fort. We can't fill this place on Christmas Eve. Well, first of all, we've done that before. That's not a rare thing on Christmas Eve here. Secondly, I believe that God can. But even if we don't fill the fort, you know what you can do? You can fill the chair next to you by at least inviting one person who has no place to do that on December the 24th. So let's present Jesus our witness this Christmas. Let's pray together. Well, dear God, we want to thank you for your son, Jesus, the real present of Christmas. And Jesus, we want to offer ourselves to you by offering the witness of our experience with you. And so my prayer is that this week, this last week before Christmas comes, that you would place people in our paths who we can tell about Jesus. And it might be in a really big way that we share a whole message to you about what you've done, or it may be in a small way where we offer a cup of water to a child. But I pray that you put in our path those who need to hear about Jesus. And then, Holy Spirit, I pray that you well up in us enough that we see that opportunity in front of us. And that you bring us the courage of the Spirit to reach out to those people in whatever way you lead us to do. And God, I feel led in this moment to pray for that person who cut my hair last year, who may have the same date this year. And maybe even, God, if there's no one else that invites her, that she would remember an invitation that came a year ago and come to some church where you, Jesus, are presented. It sure doesn't have to be here. but that she comes to some church where Jesus is presented. Because the only thing that fills the void in our heart is you, Jesus. The only one that forgives us of our sin is the Lamb of God who died for us. And even anybody in this room this morning that's not received that gift, that can receive that gift today and ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and you can encounter him as the Messiah of your life in a brand new way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God the Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Awesome. You know, friends, I got to tell you, I've surveyed the land around here. I don't see any mountains. I don't even see any hills, other than when you're driving to Finley on 224, there's a hill growing there. But let's go tell it on the plains, right? And let's go tell it on the molehills. And let's go tell it in the mountains where they're at. And let's go tell it over the seas. And let's go tell it everywhere we can that Jesus Christ was born. And that means something. That it means something to you. And it means something to me, so much so that we can't be quiet about it. Like the shepherds that ran out that night to tell everybody that we could, we can't be quiet about it. And we're in the season of his birth and we're going to be quiet? That's not right. That's not right. Go tell it. God bless you. See you all on Christmas Eve.